welcome to the Log Newscast, providing context for today's boating and fishing news. I'm Jordan Darling.
And I'm Catherine Clements. The Log Newscast is a bi-monthly podcast that will provide in-depth context, highlighting experts and witnesses from the Log's news stories. Hey listeners, it's Catherine here. In early 2021, the California Air Resource Board, also known as CARB, announced the proposal for its new engine emission regulations. This mandate requires new diesel engines and technology for existing commercial passenger sport fishing boats. The proposal ignited concerns all throughout the commercial passenger vessel community in California, and boat owners are now doing everything they can to appropriately address the proposal. The issue is that the engines and technology are too large and heavy for existing commercial passenger sport fishing boats. The technology has yet to been tested in a marine environment and exists only in trucks and farm equipment. In addition, the engines run hot, making them susceptible to catching fire, an event that would be very dangerous when passengers and crew are confined to a boat out on the water. I spoke with Jamie Diamond, owner of Stardust Sport Fishing in Santa Barbara. Jamie and her husband have owned Stardust since 1996 and their second vessel, Coral Sea, since 2015. Jamie provided insight on the impacts that this proposal would have on her, her family, her vessels, and her business if it's approved.
Hi, my name is Jamie Diamond. My husband Jason and I both own Stardust Sport Fishing in Santa Barbara. We're commercial passenger fishing vessels. CARB, which is the California Air Resources Board, manages CHC, Commercial Harbor Craft, of which just about any vessel, any commercial vessel that operates within the harbors and ports of California were considered that. But for many years, sport fishing vessels have been considered commercial fishing vessels because we are. We have to buy the same permit, the same commercial fishing vessel permit. The only difference is that we take people out when we go fishing, passengers. So we have similarly styled boats, similar engines, similar profit margins, and for all intents and purposes, we are commercial fishing vessels. What CARB is doing is they have separated commercial passenger fishing vessel from the commercial fishing vessel category, and they lump us in with all other vessels. And that's been the biggest problem so far with the whole thing, is that they changed our classification. What are they doing? Why is this a problem, right? So the issue is that they're imposing nearly impossible engine regulations, emissions regulations on our boat. They want all commercial harbor craft to have Tier 3 plus DPF, diesel particulate filters, or Tier 4 plus diesel particulate filters. Those are different classifications of engines for the emissions. The problem is they don't make that setup in a small enough size engine that we have. Our boats are smaller vessels. They are small passenger fishing vessels. We're under 800 horsepower. My boats have 425 horsepower engines on them. They don't make this type of engine plus equipment, less than 800 horsepower currently. It just doesn't exist. The other part is most of our vessels are wood or wooden fiberglass, and the diesel particulate filters that they want to put on the boats have a number of issues, but the biggest is they run incredibly hot. They are ceramic filters used to filter the diesel particulate. They tend to clog quickly and easily, especially when you're running at idle, which our vessels do frequently when we're fishing. And when that happens, it's supposed to shut the engine down immediately. Okay, that has a problem. First off, we have people on our boat. These are the same types of equipment that are in trucking trucks, like the long haul truckers, as well as off road vehicles, tractors and things like that. For them on the road, no big deal. You pull over. You wait for a tow truck, or you swap out your filter, no big deal. We're on a boat with passengers, with people's lives in our hands. And if our boat is disabled and we're entering a harbor mouth, or we're crossing a shipping lane, or we're close to an island, that's a problem. We can't just hop out and wait on the side of the road. The even bigger issue is that when these filters clog, and we've seen this numerous times. If you live in the LA Long Beach area, I'm sure people have seen this. But the trucks that catch on fire, and that's because those filters clogged and they didn't just shut down like they were supposed to. the heat that these provide is that these put off, these diesel particulate filters, it's way too hot for our vessels. CARB has admitted that, and they admit that we will have to rebuild all new steel vessels and just scrap our existing wood and fiberglass boats. You know, these boats are our livelihoods, and to build a brand new steel vessel that we're looking at, you know, around $4 million just for one. There's only a couple places on the West Coast that can build them. They can only pump out a couple a year, and we're talking about over 200 vessels that would need to be replaced. Decades worth of construction.
During the CARB meeting on Wednesday the 12th, they discussed multiple funding options. Do any of those apply for you?
The main funding option that they discussed was Carl Moyer funding. Carl Moyer funding is a grant opportunity, and it's run by each individual county's air pollution control district. The problem there is that from county to county, the amount of money each county gets in the first place is very different. And then on top of that, within the county, they get to decide if they're going to be putting that money towards road vehicles or marine projects. And some of these counties don't put any money towards marine projects. The graph that CARB showed my county, Santa Barbara County, actually getting zero Carl Moyer dollars this last cycle, which is frustrating because I am doing a repower right now. Our APCD was told that they were going to be getting this huge influx of Carl Moyer funds, so they upped their grant amount to $250,000 per project. We were really excited. This is going to be great. We weren't going to have to be out of pocket much, if anything, and we were able to be able to upgrade to Tier 3 engines. Okay, so we go through the whole process. It's taking a lot longer than it should, and I call and I say, what's going on? They said, well, there's an issue with the funding. They cut the funding we were supposed to get, so we're having to redistribute all the grant, all the money available. We wound up getting $150,000, which is meaning that we're going to be out of pocket $100,000 because our project was about $250,000. It's frustrating because CARB was going on and on about all this money that's available, that's already been put out there, and yet our district got no Carl Moyer funds. It got slashed. There's other districts that didn't get any. There's other districts that got funds but aren't giving them to marine projects. And if this is such an important thing, such a priority, you would think that they would do anything and everything they can to push funding to make it available for everyone, because that was their big push during the workshop, is how there's all this funding. But it all is very specific use.
If it passes, you have until 2023, is that correct, to swap everything?
So it depends on the engines that currently exist in your vessel. So if you're a tier zero or one, then yes, you have till 2023 to comply. The problem with that is, as of right now, no longer will qualify for Carl Moyer funding, for grant funding. So instead of giving people the opportunity to use the funding that's available, they're cutting them off at the knees and saying, not only do you have to do this with equipment that doesn't exist, but you don't get any grant funding. It extends out to 2035 when everybody must be compliant. So our engines that we just put into our boat, they are Tier 3, so we have that longer time period. In order to be eligible for grant funding, and they did show this in one of their slides, CARB showed this in one of their slides, in order to be eligible for grant funding, there has to be at least a 3-year project life, meaning you have to install this 3 years before you're required to. That, so it's voluntary in that instance. That's considered voluntary by doing it before you have to. And that's how you can get the grant funding. For me, we just got our grant in 2021 and installed our engine. We're only, according to this, we're only going to get about 7 to 8 years off of this engine before we have to go to this Tier 3 or 4 plus DPF that doesn't exist and doesn't fit in my vessel, which means I'll have to scrap my boat. And so it's heartbreaking to even think about that. We have to plan on, okay, are we going to be building a steel vessel? Is that what we're going to have to do? And, you know, I'm sure there's already a wait list now because of this to get on. But the biggest thing that's hard to understand is they want us to jump this huge hurdle right now of doing this, going to this tier 3 or tier 4 plus DPF, going to steel vessels, which steel is so dirty. The steel industry is so terrible for the environment. It's like, how can this be the right way? But the problem is, after that, we're going to have to switch everything again because they want us to go to do a zero emission program, which is a whole other type of equipment. And what we're asking is, let us get to tier 3. Put us back in with commercial fishing vessels. Let us get all of our boats, almost all of the sport fishing fleet is either tier 2 or tier 3. Half of the fleet is tier 3 already. Let's get everybody else caught up to tier 3, which is the best available that exists right now. Let them use the grant funding. And let's wait until this zero emission equipment becomes available. If it's right on the horizon, then why should we go through all of this just to have to pivot yet again? If it's that close, then let's get there and work on making that safe and retrofitting that to fit into our vessels. There's a common sense that's missing from this. It's hard to understand why they want us to get rid of our boat. And somebody brought up a really great point about all the abandoned vessels that are going to come out of this. Who should be responsible for the disposal of the abandoned vessels, the county or the state? And so that was another question that was raised. And this rule is going to cause or trigger potential increased abandonment in vessels. These vessels aren't going to have much of any resale value because they can't be used for commercial purposes. And so, you know, and with Carl Moyer specifically, whenever you're using that funding for a project, whatever you're replacing must be destroyed. So according to CARB, there are instances where Carl Moyer funding can be used for vessel replacement. And that was the first we'd heard of that. But that means you're then having to destroy the other vessel. I doubt they're going to be able to cover a $4 million steel vessel. And then on top of it, somebody's going to have to get rid of their old boat. Funding's incredibly skewed and inequitable along the coast. And so what I ask, if they're guaranteeing funding for all vessels that have to be replaced in order to comply. Because as of now, there's so many vessels in areas that get no funding. And also, will there be caps for replacement? And they really avoided giving me a straight answer. And they kept saying, oh, well, let's talk offline. That was their answer to a lot of people's questions. Let's talk offline. And they didn't like that somebody kept pointing them for a question, kept very directly asking something. And if you didn't let up, because they weren't giving the answer, they kept saying, let's talk offline. And that was their way of brushing us off, which was frustrating.
Is Coast Guard still uninvolved in all of this?
So here was something very interesting. Coast Guard has not been very involved. They said that they've had numerous meetings with Coast Guard. My industry association has had plenty of meetings with Coast Guard, and that is not what we've been told. What was interesting is we learned that night that Coast Guard had submitted written comments on the proposed regulation. However, they're not publicly available like all the other comment letters, and we asked CARB if they would make them public, and it was a non-response. They avoided the question and shifted course. So we never got an answer on getting those letters that Coast Guard had written. One would think that if it's written comments on a proposed regulation, it should be part of the public domain to see it, but they're not making those publicly available as of right now. That's really frustrating because I have the feeling those of us that have been through this whole time, we have a feeling what those letters say, but really what Bonnie and what David Kieros have said is, you know, the idea of kind of, we're going to put this out there and make this happen and force everybody's hand to move forward and grow and do this. Without the fact that understanding, like, well, these are on vessels already, so it's fine. But there's a difference between on a vessel, on just a regular commercial vessel, and when you have passengers on your boat. And we just have such an extra layer, multiple extra layers of safety and precaution that we have to take. And I just don't feel like this equipment is safe for use on vessels with passengers.
It's also only been tested on farm equipment, right?
Correct. So it's supposedly, according to CARB, it is on I believe a tug, maybe out of San Diego is what I've heard. But it's a huge engine, and it's a huge DPF. It's not in the size that we need for our vessel. Not under 800 horsepower, the setup. Not nearly close. Like I said, our engines are 425 horsepower. There's a huge difference there. When they were point blank asked during the workshop, does this exist for CPFBs? Oh, Tier 4 exists. Tier 4 is there. And I called them out on it. I said, and so did others. We said, but the question is, does it exist for vessels like ours? And it doesn't. They wouldn't just say no. They wouldn't just answer it straight. They had to put a spin on it and not, and kind of like sidestep the question in a way, avoid answering the question head on. And that's what happened with most questions that were asked that night.
So their next step is to join again in spring of 2022, right?
Correct. That's when the next hearing is with the commissioners.
Is that when a decision is going to be solidified?
That's our understanding, yeah. My understanding is when the meeting ended, they made it clear that they would not be having any further workshops. It was really disappointing that CARB spent such a significant amount of time telling us about all the funding that was going to be available, but we're not eligible for most of it, or there's a lack of money that won't get turned to us anyways. And so we're going to be looking at the various options that they told us about, and really examining them, like the core vouchers, the low carbon transportation projects as well, diving into that and seeing how, if at all, that can play out. We're just going to keep trying to reach out to the commissioners and gathering our own data to present a well-rounded case to the commission at the hearing in the spring. So I'm hoping that we can continue this conversation, that we can speak with board members and legislators, and really lean on legislators to use their influence for what's best for their constituents. Of course, we all want clean air. I live where my business is, right? We all live in these communities. This is where we live, this is where our work, this is where our kids are, this is where they go to school. But at the same time, there has to be a more reasonable way to get to the same goal. And that's what we're trying to do.
After hosting two webinars where public comments and concerns were heard, CARB is expected to finalize its decision in March of 2022.
This has been the Log Newscast.
May you have fair winds and following seas. Until next time, this is Jordan.
And this is Catherine.
Signing off.